legendary Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, Larrivee Guitars presents two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. It's Scott and Hino and the Music Row Show.
It's my guitar lesson right there.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. Brought to you, as always, by Larrivee Guitars. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks for tuning in again tonight. As you probably know by now, the show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who are trying to make a career here in Music City.
I know.
Make a career. A music career.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
A splash.
All right. Well, what we've just proven is we don't really know anything.
No.
We're out there slugging songs during the day just like you guys are. But what we are able to do is find the right people, bring them into the studio, pick their brains, and give you the opportunity to ask them questions as well.
Yeah, and you can do that by calling 800-688-9522. Or you can always email the show at mail@themusicrowshow.com. Now, we've got a great show tonight. We really do. We've got NSAI's David Petrelli here, and then Grammy Award-winning producer, engineer Mitch Dane is going to be joining us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So we got some other cool things going on.
We do got some cool things. We are officially announcing our new Larrivee Guitar Contest tonight.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to be able to win a beautiful mahogany and spruce
L5
Larrivee guitar.
How does one see that guitar?
Well,
we're
not just going to give it away. You got to work for it. We're going to make you write a song.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a song contest. So the theme, sort of a loose theme, is things are looking up. We just figured we'd go positive with this thing, you know. That doesn't have to be the title, but it should be in the lyrics somewhere. Be creative. Just do something cool. And you enter just by going to themusicrowshow.com. There's a nice big link at the top of the page for the contest. Click on that. Follow the directions to upload your song. And there you go.
And if it wins this,
and then on our fourth anniversary show in August, we'll pick the winner. And it'll just be based on what we like.
Well, we'll do it the same way we did the
absolutely.
Christmas show. We're going to pick out a group of winners, a group of potential winners.
Yeah.
Then we're going to send them off to Larrivee. They'll whittle it down even more, and then we'll make a final decision.
Exactly.
Based on that. But it's nothing, you know.
There's no scientific, you know, anything or favorites or anything. It's really just...
We're not publishers. Yeah. We're just going to pick what we like.
There's no record deal or anything like that in this other than a beautiful, beautiful guitar.
Very nice guitar.
Yeah.
Log on to Larrivee.com. You can check it out. Go into Larrivee.com, then click on Instruments, Acoustic Guitars, and you'll find the L5 there.
Or you can just go to themusicrowshow.com and click the guitar, and it'll take you to that same place.
Really?
Yes.
Look at you.
Wow.
You are Mr. Computer.
I know. What can I say?
Wow. So did you do – that's what you did. You spent all day on that yesterday.
All day long. I got up at 4 this morning. No, I didn't. Listen, Scott, why don't we get down to business? Introduce our guests here.
Okay. I will. You know, so anybody who listens to this show regularly, like Deborah.
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah, that's our
nice.
Listener right there.
Nice to meet you.
So there won't be any people calling in then if she's
going to go out and call from there. No, anybody who listens to the show knows that we're big fans of NSAI, Nashville Songwriters Association International, and not only for the work they do legislatively for songwriters, not just because of Tin Pan South, which is one of the coolest weekends in town.
Absolutely.
But for the clinics, the classes, the camps, all the support that they offer songwriters of all different levels all year round. So we are going to dig into NSAI tonight, especially their upcoming song camp, which happens on July 15th through 17th here in Nashville. And I believe there's still some openings available to that. We have NSAI events director and one-on-one mentor David Petrelli in studio right now. He's a New England transplant, Berklee College of School of Music grad, singer-songwriter. He's got a man crush on Billy Joel.
I do.
It's going to be a great hour of information, and it's a pleasure to say, David Petrelli, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right. Wow. Look at that. The crowd goes nuts.
Carlos is back on fire.
He is. Well, okay, enough about how I feel about Billy Joel. How do you feel about Billy Joel?
I love Billy Joel.
All right, cool.
I do. Yeah, I grew up listening to, Billy Joel, Aerosmith. Those two are about as high as you could possibly get on my list.
People
right there.
Get those two confused all the time.
Very, very confused a lot. I actually used to get. It's funny. I used to get Billy Joel and Elton John confused, which is a little bit more understandable than Billy Joel and Aerosmith. But
right.
Growing up, when I was just a wee little lad, and At some point, I think it was, I'm not really sure, but at some point, Elton John did, I think, a show, a concert in Central Park, where he dressed up as Donald Duck.
Yes.
So for a 4 or 5 year old, that was awesome. So I saw that, and so for my early years in music, I loved Elton John. Every time someone was on the radio, I'd say, "Mommy, is that Donald Duck or is that the other guy?" And she'd say the other guy. I was like, "Oh, but,
darn it!"
But somehow, some way, I got really turned on musically to Billy Joel.
Well, you went on and studied at Berklee School of Music, mm-hmm, which yep. Scott just mentioned. I mean, what did you study there?
I studied songwriting
accounting.
And vocal performance.
Accounting.
Yes. I wish I studied accounting.
Better yet, record company accounting. It's
right.
Very complicated.
It's very different, too, yeah. than normal accounting. You got to move things more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I studied songwriting and vocal performance there. And never in a million years did I think I'd ever move to Nashville, but it's because of my, I did a little 2-year grad program there, and they do a spring break trip to Nashville for all songwriting majors and what's called MP&E, music production and engineering. And I came down here on that, and it just opened my eyes to the whole, even though I'm not really a country guy, at least wasn't when I moved here, It just opened my eyes to the whole songwriting community here, and I just kind of fell in love with it. And man, it was a lot cheaper than LA, so
yeah,
here I am.
There you do.
Yeah.
So you come into town, and like you just said, you were interning at a publishing house.
Yeah.
What were the first impressions of the Nashville music scene and the publishing process compared to what you'd been learning in school? I mean, were they different? Was it a?
It was a lot different. I mean, the nuts and the bolts were the same.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny how and this is no knock on Berklee because I really loved my experience there. But it's just funny how if you major, they really should make you take more business classes if you're that serious about it that you're actually going to school for it. Because you know I took some intro classes and things like that, but nothing really in depth. But it was a lot more informal than I anticipated it being. But from the business side of it, you know, it pretty much was the same, you know, school, by the time they get around to teaching it, it's happened in the business for 3 or 4 years or more or something like that. So from a technological standpoint or from a, you know, other things like that, they're probably a little bit behind the times.
Already
with that
obsolete.
Kind of, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So, but it, you know, it was a good preparation, but nothing like my first day at Pure Music. I'll give them a little boost because they were a great company to work for. My boss took me to a pitch meeting, and I was like, "This is my first day. I wore a tie and all this other stuff." And it's like, you just don't do that, you know. And I, for those who don't know, I you know Berklee College of Music is in Boston, not it's Berklee with two E's, not EY, not
right.
California. And I grew up a huge, huge Red Sox fan, so I came down here and I'd been here 3 hours. Getting lost around the rotary because down here they don't call it a rotary, they call it a roundabout.
Roundabout, yeah.
You know, exactly.
Or the roundabouts, we call it.
Right, exactly, yes. He's like, "Hey, man, come on with me." So I hopped in the car with him and went to this. I just thought it was the coolest thing. I walked in.
Who's he?
My boss at the time was Rod Parkin.
Okay.
Great, great, great guy. He was the creative director of Pure at the time and really kind of took me under his wing and made me get him coffee every day and all this other stuff. But you know, it was awesome. We got to go to these things, and here I've been in Nashville for you know, 2 minutes just about, and I'm sitting here watching how the process works and seeing... that was pretty much the biggest eye-opener for me was to see how people listened to songs.
He was actually taking you to pitch meetings?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it was fantastic. It got to the point where he did it so much that I would get mad at him if he didn't, mm-hmm. you know? But it was really, really great seeing how some people, whether it was A&R people or producers for the act or whatever, seeing how they listened to songs and what they listened for and, you know, it seems like the bigger the desk, the more they wanted you to know that they were important, you know, listening to the song. Some people would converse while listening. Other people would turn around and not say anything and just kind of click the next button and stuff. And you really kind of learned a lot about how, as, you know, as a as a big classic rock fan with lots of solos and 8-minute songs and things like that, how it was really the first time it really hit home. Hey, you got to get to the point quick,
right,
in Nashville. So it was really, really great.
Cool. So then, how did you get involved with NSAI?
Great
you thought
question.
You were going to have time to drink a little
I know.
Bit of water
no,
there.
No.
Gotcha.
See? Well, that's the I got really lucky. It's funny. Anytime I've ever interviewed somebody who's achieved much more than I ever have in the music business, but doing a lot of interviews as part of my job, which we'll get to in a second, I'm sure, I always ask, oh, how did you do this? And inevitably somebody always says, oh, I got really lucky. And then everyone in the audience goes, well, crap, how can I learn from that? But seriously, for me, I mentioned that the publishing company I interned at, and I was the only intern there. And that to me.
That's a lot of coffee.
Yes. But that was huge. It's a small company. At least the Nashville office is pretty small. And to me, I was so jealous of somebody else I knew who was coming down to Nashville around the same time I was, and they were interning at a larger publisher. Mm-hmm. And I was very jealous. Oh, you're going to work there. It's so great. And you're going to meet all these people and everything else. And he was one of 30.
Right.
Intern. So he was in the tape room and doing all that stuff, and which I did as well. But I had so much more responsibility at my publishing company because I was the only intern.
Sure.
That I got to do so much more, like go to these pitch meetings and stuff. And even though I had never really heard of that company before. So when that 6-month period was up, I had decided to give Nashville a shot. I was like, you know what? I think I can do some damage in this town, good or bad, leave my mark somehow, skid or otherwise. And
thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. But
wow,
you just made your mark.
No, but
wow, I wonder where you're going to be working on Tuesday.
I know. But anyway, in all seriousness, the great thing about working for a small company was things like that, how you had so much responsibility. The bad thing is when your time is up, they probably don't have room for you to hire
you.
That was my hope. And they did not have room for me, but they liked me enough to look around. And after a couple weeks of scary unemployment, Rod, the guy I mentioned before, he called me up and said, hey, I have this lead on this place called NSAI. And I was at that point, I was like, I need money. Hell yeah, I'll go. I'll interview. I wasn't even sure what the interview was for at the time. So I had the interview, and I had heard of NSAI once before because of their song contest. I had entered it 3 or 4 years prior or something, but really didn't investigate it much beyond that. And had I known about it when I moved here, it would have helped tremendously. I would have become a member immediately and gone to the workshops and everything else and been able to learn some things that took me a little bit longer to learn. But that's how the magic happened.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a quick break. Gotta say hello to a couple of our sponsors, but we're gonna be back with more of David Petrelli from NSAI here on the Music Row Show.
When I saw you buying Cosmo in a Hot Rod magazine, I said to myself, now there's a girl for me. And when I asked you to go for a ride, you stole my heart when you said, if I can drive. I said, how about some music? You said, you got any Merle? That's when I knew you were my kind of girl.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show, brought to you by Larravee Guitars. And that tune's called My Kind of Girl, and that was co-written by Debbie Cochran, who works over at NSAI. She's the Legislative and Workshops Director and also a one-on-one mentor. So it's kind of cool that the people at NSAI are also active songwriters and, out there doing their thing as well. So
and Debbie is she's fantastic. What a wealth of knowledge she has, and she is.
What a great song. How come we don't have Colin? How come we've never had Colin Ray on the show?
I don't know.
Who books this thing?
Yeah, that could be part of the problem. So as a one-on-one mentor,
I feel so special.
Yeah,
no. We were cracking on me, not you.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, as a one-on-one mentor, what does that relationship look like for a writer? I mean, what do you do for folks?
Yeah, well, it's part of your membership. When you join NSAI, there are all sorts of really cool and useful facets that you get to take advantage of, and one of them is the one-on-one mentoring sessions.
Right.
As an NSAM member, you get two mentoring sessions a year, which does not mean, and I always caution people when I say this, I said, just because you get two of them, the only reason you only get two is because we have so many members and we don't have enough mentors. But it doesn't mean that it stops there. It's just that's our introduction to you, and you can email us afterwards and call us and continue that relationship. But basically, they're about 40 minutes to an hour long or so, and it's a chance, especially if you first – when you're first moving to Nashville or you're first in at NSAI in your first couple months of membership, it's a really great idea to set that up. And we sit down and we just kind of shoot the bull for a little while. I mean, there's five or six people at NSAI who do it, and we all have our own way of getting to know our members. And for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, I like to take the first couple minutes just to get to know the person a little bit more so than, you know, checking their website and listening to their tunes ahead of time and get an idea kind of for, you know, where they've been, where they are, and where they want to go. And that helps us figure out a little battle plan for them and to say, okay, you know, that we have so many members and I've still, you know, even if I meet with one person at 2 o'clock and they want to be a professional songwriter, and then I meet with one person at 3 o'clock, they want to be a professional songwriter. Their paths are going to be different. No matter, you know, I've still never met two people who have gotten to the same place the same way before. Everybody from their geographical location to their financial situation to family, I mean, everything affects your path, and you're all unique that way. So what I try to do is get a feel for what goals this person has in the business, where they are now, and they're willing to and able to do to reach whatever goals those are. And in all likelihood, those goals are not going to be reached tomorrow. But just to kind of get an idea, and sometimes it involves a little bit of a reality check, sometimes, or just helping them understand kind of the way the business works now, which of course is not the way the business is going to work tomorrow necessarily, but the way everything works, mostly as it pertains to Nashville, but not all. And then at least half of the session for me, I want to hear your songs, man. I love listening to music, and I listen to new music every day, and I try to listen to somebody new every single day, and just kind of give my feedback on it. And I find that a lot of people, myself included, I mean, when you're a songwriter of any capacity, an aspiring professional or otherwise, you're always wanting somebody to hear you.
Sure.
You know, and very, very often people come to NSAI because they were referred to NSAI by Sony or Warner or you know, some of the companies that they might just call because they don't know any better, and they're just calling, hey, can you get my song to Tim McGraw or Kenny Chesney? And they say no. And they say, you know, something along the lines of no, call NSAI. And that sometimes translates to, you know, Sony said, if I send you my song, then you're going to get it to
Kenny Chesney.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but some of it is just kind of explaining, you know, what we do, what we can do for you, but also what we can't do for you, which is just as important to know sometimes.
Go ahead and give us both of those.
All right. Well, we cannot get your song to Kenny Chesney. That's one. Or
hold on, I got to go put my CD away.
There you go. Yeah, I'll still listen to it, but I'll give it back to you when I'm done. No, the NSAI is kind of a two-headed monster, kind of like what I call it, in a good way. It was founded by pro songwriters for pro songwriters. So the purpose of NSAI, first and foremost, is to represent songwriters and fight for songwriters' rights in Congress. Anytime there's anything that potentially affects how a songwriter gets paid, NSAI is there, quite literally there in D.C., you know, playing songs for congressmen and explaining, hey, this bill you're about to vote on, this means we don't get half of our money, or something along those lines. And, you know, really, really fighting for songwriters' rights, copyright issues, downloading issues. Obviously, those are that's the big one right now.
Sure.
But we talked before in the last segment about technology and things like that, and, you know, how it pertains to school when you're teaching it. But in this case, you know, technology is way, way ahead of the law and always will be. And, you know, things like ringtones, for example, there was no law. Is that a performance? Is that a mechanical? Is that what is that? And, you know, NSAI is there to make sure, to the best of our ability, that songwriters get represented well, because, as we say, it all begins with a song. The other half of what we do is for the aspiring songwriter. It doesn't matter whether you are just trying to write a song for your grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary, or just always did it on, you know, just as a hobby and you love to write, or if you are serious about making songwriting your career in some way, shape, or form. We have lots of different workshops and panels and the one-on-one mentoring, like I mentioned before, and song evaluation services, all geared towards both in person and online. We have, over 130 chapters all around the world, really. Most of them are obviously in the States, but we've got a bunch in Canada, a couple in England and Ireland, and one in Hawaii that I hope to visit very soon sometime. I would love to do a workshop out there for them. So if you're listening in Hawaii, just invite me over, and we'll try to get our executive director to pay for it all, and I'll tell you all I know about songwriting, believe me. But all these resources are there to help you, first of all, write a better song tomorrow than you did today, and hopefully have a better idea and a better feel for how the business works, because there are so many opportunities for songwriters now. There, I mean, there always have been, but it doesn't just mean get your song on the radio in order to be successful. But that's the first thing people think about.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, and every, you know, part of it is because that's that sort of validation there. But there are so many different ways to make really to make a really solid living and a career with songwriting as your base, whether that's entirely as a songwriter or just doing it, you know, writing jingles for shows like this, you know, you know, things like that. And we try as best we can to let our members know of these opportunities, to explain how the business works. And we really, you know, have a relationship with our members as much as possible. We do not, I said before, in jest, but it's true, you know, we're not a pitching service. We're not a publishing company. So we can't. There are certain things that we, as a not-for-profit organization, we just plain can't do. But we try as best we can to help maybe shave some years off of that grind that you ordinarily would have to do. You come here and pound the pavement for a while, show you where the doors are, and maybe try to crack them open a little bit for you and make you prepared for that meeting when you have it.
Yeah, well, because you deal – you mentioned this a little earlier. Because you deal with so many newer writers, what are some of the other common misconceptions that people have about the business and how things work around here, other than, you know, you can't get your song to Kenny Chesney? But what else? What are some other common things?
Yeah, well, a big one, I think, is that you can make money quickly in songwriting. We get a lot of people who call – usually from out of state, where they'll say, I just, you know, either I've been out of a job for a while or this or that or whatever. I want to make a career change, but I want to make sure that you know, if I write a song today, that someone can get it in somebody's hands tomorrow and it'll be on the radio next week and the money will start coming in. And they don't realize, through no fault of their own, they're just not sure how the business works, that, you know, most songs, when you hear them on the radio now, they were written at best 2 years ago, you know, a year or two ago, and a lot of times a lot earlier than that. Just the process of how long it takes, and then once you, if the stars align just perfectly, and you get that single on the radio, so let's skip from step one to step 200, and it's on the radio right now, you're still not going to see any money for, you know, a quarter at least, you know. So a lot of times people, you know, see, they realize that artists don't always write their own songs, and they have always liked writing, and that, so that's a big one, is they don't realize that most songwriters spend so long in debt that by the time they get their you know, hit, whenever that is, you know, they make just enough to get back into the black, you know, and get up to normal. But so that's a big misconception is there. And, you know, the other one is just, I think, well, there's a lot of them, but you know, access is a big one. You know, why can't I walk into such and such record label and play my song for the head of the company?
Right.
And, you know, especially people who are had whether success or had experience in Nashville, let's say in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right, when they used to be able to do that.
Exactly, exactly. And there are a lot of reasons for that, some good and legitimate, some unfortunate, you know. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with legal reasons, but also just time. I mean, there's even us, and believe me when I tell you that, there, you know, I cannot get your song to Kenny Chesney. We're picking on Kenny all night, but you know, I still can't listen to every song that people send me all the time, and I can only imagine it just gets more and more and more from a publisher than an A&R, and then, you know, artists, and why can't I get my song to this person, or why do I have to go from a publisher to a A&R person to a producer to the artist? Why can't I just play for the artist? And I'm like, man, if you can, cut out, by all means, go for it. But it's just, you know, those, there are unfortunate byproducts to having all those walls up and those barriers, but it's very, very, very understandable while they're there.
Okay, right. So I'm a little fuzzy on this. Can you get my song to Kenny Chesney, or can't you?
You personally?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. No. I wouldn't do
we'll
it.
We'll talk.
Kenny Chesney's bus driver, maybe?
Kenny Chesney's okay. Bus driver.
His name's Steve Lowenstein.
Right.
He
lives in
White House.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so we only have a couple minutes in this segment, but I'd like to at least get started, and then we'll talk more about it the next segment, because we're sending our kids to camp right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Girl Scout camp, Boy Scout camp, soccer camp.
Why not song camp?
Talk to us about song camp.
Song camp. Well, as you had mentioned in the open, my role at NSAI, and we all play many, many roles at NSAI, but my primary role is as director of events. Mm-hmm. We have a number of events that we hold outside of NSAI's walls or campus, so to speak, that are open to the public, and NSAI members always get a huge discount. They're all educational-based events, and Song Camp is really a staple of NSAI. We have two of them every year. The next one coming up is July 15th to the 17th at the Holiday Inn Vanderbilt here, and it's a very, very intensive craft-driven event. So if you are interested in learning more about songwriting and really delving into your own style of songwriting, come to Song Camp. Absolutely.
Okay. So what can it? Well, you know what? Let's take a break.
Well,
when I come back, I want to talk about what attendees can expect.
Sure. Let me just chime in real quick and say that when I first came to Nashville, I went to a couple of them, and they were awesome.
Great.
I mean, they were really, really, really helpful, especially being new to town.
Exactly.
It was awesome. So I highly recommend it.
Good. Well, let's take a quick break. We're going to be back with more of David Petrelli and NSAI Talk here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
I got me a brand new car waiting in the driveway, shining like a bright new star. I've been wishing on it every day to take me away from here.
Hey, welcome back to the Music Row Show, brought to you as always by Larravee Guitars. That, of course, is I Don't Have to Be Me Till Monday by Steve Azar, but that was written by R.C. Bannon.
Yep.
Who's also another one of the NSAI one-on-one mentors.
There
we got a little theme cooking here.
Yeah, I mean, those are the folks you get to meet with when you're a member.
Amazing, amazing guy. And if you can't get in to meet with him or Debbie, then you get stuck with me.
Okay.
But R.C. has been he's been with us about 2 years now, and just such a great, great guy. And, you know, really just a huge star in the industry. He's, you know, he moved to Texas for a while, but came back and as a guy who's achieved so much and had number ones and everything else, he was in line when he moved back. He's like, you know, the music business changes just like everything else, and it doesn't take very long to realize that the people used to be able to call at whatever company aren't there anymore. And mm-hmm. he was like, well, let's start at NSAI. And he would get in line at the pitch to publisher nights and everything else, and really doing it the right way, and no ego on that man. I cannot say enough good things about him.
Very cool. Well, let's talk more about Song Camp.
Yeah.
What can attendees expect? Is it just for Nashvillians? And who's teaching?
Good questions. Oh, great questions.
Thank you. Good questions, Scott.
Yes.
Wow.
Song Camp, well, first of all, it's not just for Nashvillians. People come from literally all over the world. The most recent camp we had in June was an advanced song camp, and we had people from England, we had a couple from Canada, and just all over the place. And if you're going to make it into Nashville, I really recommend, even if it's not Song Camp, but I highly recommend Song Camp, to do it around an event like this. You know, you can, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you really get, I mentioned before that it's a really intensive experience, and it is. I mean, you're there pretty much all day long. There's very, very few breaks, and we do that on purpose. We try to chalk as much information as possible into that time to make the most bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
The faculty members have changed somewhat throughout the year, but the point of it is to really keep as core of a faculty as we possibly can. It starts with Rick Beresford, who is one of the best songwriting teachers you will ever find. Really knows how to break down a lyric and break things down and give you exercises to really look at lyrics and look at even melody and songs in a different way,
mm-hmm.
Without getting boring and overly analytical and stuff. And a hit songwriter himself, he's written a bunch of stuff. The one that pops to head right now is an old George Jones tune, and it popped right out of my head as soon as I said that. But I'll come up with it in a second. But
James Dean Hicks?
James Dean Hicks, yeah. Great, great songwriter, the rock star of the group kind
mm-hmm,
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Don Henry, who is a fantastic writer. I mean, someone who just is a little left to center. Grammy Award winner. He is just a great, great, great song critiquer. And speaking of great, great songwriters, Hugh Prestwood, Hall of Fame songwriter.
Oh, yeah. Song Remembers When.
The Song Remembers When.
He was at one of the song camps that I went to,
mm-hmm.
and that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have so many really just not good-looking guys, we had to really get the quotient up there and have a lady in there who really can up the ante. And Angela Cassett mm-hmm. is there, and she the Something in Red or mm-hmm. Morgan Song, and
yep.
just a piano player. So I have a soft spot in my heart for her. And just
isn't Tia there too?
Tia has been. She's not there this year.
Oh, she is not there.
Yeah,
this year?
Okay. Tia Sillars, who is. I got to stop giving compliments. You're going to think that I love everybody, but I do love everybody. But Tia Sillars, man, when she's at Song Camp, is just a firecracker. She's fantastic. She wrote I Hope You Dance and a bunch of other things, and just brings a really, really great energy. This year, Ralph Murphy is normally at Song Camp.
Mm-hmm.
For this year, he can't be there. He has other commitments. So we brought in a guy named Steve Leslie, who is – he's written a bunch of Daryl Worley stuff. He had the Darius Rucker Christmas single out last season, and great, great musical mind. He's was a big jazz guy for a long time, and can teach you all sorts of those weird non-Nashville chords, you know. but really, really from a musical standpoint, really, really knows his stuff. So you are going to be there all day long. Really, really intense.
And are you getting your songs critiqued? Are you?
Good question. The camp is basically split up into two segments. The morning sessions are the educational lectures.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is in one room, learning about different topics. Then after the lunch break, those are the breakout sessions. And breakout sessions come in two forms. What we call the pro song breakdowns, and that is where a guy like Hugh, for example, will be in a room with 10 to 12 other campers, and he'll talk about the song Remembers When. And mm-hmm. he'll say, okay, here's how this song came about. Here's this first line. Here's my original first line. Here's why I changed it. Or, if there was a co-writer, for example, here's what my co-writer brought to the table and everything else.
We're going to listen about the second breakout when we get back from this last break. And we'll be back with more of David Petrelli here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
Thank you. just learned to stay out of his way.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show, brought to you by Larrivee Guitars, and that's If You Ever Stop Loving Me, Montgomery Gentry tune, and that was co-written by Rivers Rutherford, who's on the board of directors for NSAI.
Yes, yep.
And actually was also at one of the song camps I went to.
He was at a couple, yeah. He used to do the song camps quite often, and then he got so successful that he just couldn't commit to it. But we get him back to
darn him.
I know.
Does good stuff, though. He's a good teacher.
What a great guy.
Let's talk about the second the second type of the breakouts.
Yeah, okay. So the first part is the pro song breakdown, where that pro writer is really giving you the innards of a hit song and making you hopefully realize what goes into it. The second half is the song critique. So they kind of flip it on you and say, okay, now play me a song. And they're going to give more than just your average critique. Oh, this line was good, or I like this rhyme scheme. They're going to ask you questions. Okay, why do you have this line here? What made you write this? Why is it titled this? Or why didn't you think of this? Not as a way to really, really, really give you kind of an eye-opening into your own song. The thing I kind of like to say about song camp is it really, hopefully, by the time you leave, you'll have a better understanding not only of what you write and how you write. Those are the nuts and bolts. But why you write what you write. What are your tendencies that you don't even realize you're doing? Not so that you can change them, but so that necessarily, but that so you can manipulate them in a good way. Mm-hmm. You know, as an artist, as a songwriter, as a craftsman, you need to be able to have total control over your craft.
Sure.
And be able to manipulate a melody, a line, a lick, a word, anything to be able to really make it hopefully that much more appealing for a potential audience.
Well, speaking of words, though, what if someone is a lyricist and they don't necessarily write music? Can they get something out of song camp?
They absolutely can. We have two Debbie Cochran, for example, primarily a lyricist. Brent Baxter, a huge part of NSAI and does a lot of mentoring for us, wrote Monday Morning Church for Alan Jackson, primarily a lyricist. You can get an awful lot out of song camp as a lyricist. It doesn't mean you should skip the melody part, by the way. I mean, if you can't play an instrument and you don't know how to play an instrument, and even if you don't want to play an instrument, your lyrics are going to be better if you have an understanding of melodic contour and different things that these people teach. Not to mention the fact that if you are a lyricist and you want to write songs, someone's got to write the melody.
Right, and what a great place to meet other people doing the same thing.
Fantastic place. You know, co-writers abound at song camp, without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent.
That's perfect. Well, we only have a couple minutes left, and you did talk briefly about all the different chapters that there are all over the country. What if, for some reason, you're not near one? How would you go about starting a chapter?
You could start a chapter. You would contact NSAI, and the two people who are the head of that department, the workshop department, are Debbie Cochran, that we mentioned before, and Trish Matthews. They run our Thursday night workshop, so if you are in Nashville on a Thursday, come on down. Otherwise, just contact them, and their information is on our website, NashvilleSongwriters.com. And just say, hey, I'm a member. I'd really like to start something. How do we go about doing that? We train you. We bring you to Nashville twice a year, and you follow a pretty strict curriculum that we set up for you. And if you are living somewhere and you don't know if there's one near you, go to NashvilleSongwriters.com, and there's a little icon there that says workshops, and locate one near you, and you can contact that person directly there. They'll tell you all about it.
And if you're listening online, from the musicgrowshow.com, there's a nice big banner ad for NSAI.
There you go.
Been there for years.
Take you right there. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for coming in. We've had a great time.
I had a blast. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
We'd like to give you. Oh, there goes the crowd again.
Scott,
what does David win tonight?
It's a brand new car oil change. Actually, for real, it is. It's a deluxe oil change at our friends at Ultimate Tire and Car Care. So
I have been there before. They did a lot of work on my car, and I highly recommend them as well.
Perfect.
Well,
this
you
is
can
fantastic.
Go back and get an oil change from them.
Oh, this is great.
And make sure to say hi to all the other folks at NSAI. We love that organization. We highly recommend, if you're a writer, join.
Join,
they
absolutely.
Do great work.
And come to Song Camp, NashvilleSongwriters.com.
July
15th
through 17th.
Well, we've got another great hour coming up. We've got Grammy Award-winning producer and engineer Mitch Dane joining us here in the next hour, so stick around for that. Cool. We'll be back in a few minutes here on the Music Row Show. Strong High.